As I said when we had our reading this morning in 2 Samuel chapter 23, we come to the last of our brief series of glimpses from the life of David. Last week, I believe David Humphrey spoke about the time when Absalom, King David's son, led a revolt against his father. How good a few chapters later to see David as he nears the end of his life, thanking God for his faithfulness and making a list of mighty men who, with God's help, had remained faithful to him. Verse 39 tells us that there were 37 mentioned in these verses. 16 more are added in 1 Chronicles chapter 11. The indications are that David chose a band of 30 from his troops to act as an elite guard and advisors to him. And one possible explanation for the larger number is that David retained a group of 30, but had to replace men who were killed in action. Interestingly, the list ends with Uriah the Hittite in verse 39. Uriah, whose outstanding loyalty to David, when David was desperately trying to cover up his adultery with Bathsheba, actually led to Uriah's death. And yet, when David lists his mighty men, Uriah is mentioned among them. Now, what can we learn from these people? Firstly, that they were loyal to their leader. Even before David became king, these people were loyal to him. In verse 13, we see a reference to the cave of Adullam. In 1 Samuel 22 and verse 1, we see that when David was on the run from King Saul, he took refuge for a while in the cave of Adullam. And during that time, we read, everyone who was distressed, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was discontent gathered to him. So he became captain over them. And there were about 400 with him. They were a motley crew. And yet David shaped them into an army. And some outstanding warriors emerged among them. I was fascinated once to read through a list of churches and discovered that one church in Essex called itself Cave Adullam. Although David was a fugitive and could not guarantee these people a decent meal, let alone shelter and other provisions, they were prepared to leave behind what little security they had and join themselves to David. And they believed that one day, even though at that time things looked bleak for them, David would be recognized as king, and they pledged their loyalty to him. They had such confidence in David and loyalty to him that although it meant being fugitives and experiencing poverty and hardship, they were prepared to pay the price. No wonder David referred to them as his mighty men. And I want to ask us this morning whether we allow people like this to stir up our devotion to great David's greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ. when we were looking at 1 John, we found in 1 John 4 and verse 19 that we love him because he first loved us. In Galatians 2 and verse 20 we read, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. And I guess, like me, you sometimes, perhaps when we meet at the Lord's Supper or at other times, go back in your mind to the Lord Jesus on that first Good Friday, when he died as a substitute for his people, when he carried the load of their sin and bore the punishment that his people deserved for their sin. And then by faith, with the hymn writer say, in my place, condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah! What a Saviour. Someone who was prepared to make such an enormous sacrifice for us requires, I believe, as Isaac Watts says in his hymn, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Are we devoted to him? Do we give him first place in our lives? Do we take up our cross daily and follow him? If we had to be a fugitive for him, would we carry on? If we had to face poverty for his sake, would we stick the course? If we faced threats and humiliation for his sake, would we still affirm Jesus is Lord? Many of our brothers and sisters throughout the world face this, and worse. And yet, as I opened a prayer letter during this week, and I read, a bride who had had to flee with her husband for the sake of Christ, writing, it's like a privilege. It's an honour to be able to choose between life and our God. I thought, wow, what devotion to the Lord Jesus. And so, as I read this passage, I'm challenged about my devotion to great David's greater son. May we be loyal to our King. And then, as I looked through this passage, I discovered that they showed outstanding bravery. In verse 8, we're introduced to Josheb-Basabeth, who stood his ground in a battle with 800 men. Historically, we're talking about a time when the Philistines were continually making incursions into the land that God had given to his people. There were constant battles. And this man stood his ground in a battle with 800 men. And then in verse 9, we're introduced to Eliezer, who, when all around him were retreating from the enemy, he stood his ground and battled on until his hand was weary and his sword stuck to his hand. Have you ever had that sort of experience? Not with a sword, but with some other tool. You've been doing something and your hand's just shaped around it. And the Lord brought about a great victory that day. And then verse 11, we have Shammah, Shammah with members of the Israelite infantry were defending a field of lentils from a raiding band of Philistines. So often raiding bands would come, sometimes and steal, sometimes set fire to a field. And these Israelites were defending this field of lentils. But in the heat of the battle, they felt overpowered, and the Israelites fled. But Shammah stood his ground. And the scriptures tell us the Lord brought about a great victory. Didn't do it on his own, but with the Lord's help, as he stood firm, the Lord gave him that victory. And this chapter highlights the bravery too of people like Abishai, who raised his spear against 300 men, and Benaiah, who in addition to his victories over the Moabites' mightiest warriors and a huge Egyptian, also went down into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion that in all probability was preying on the flocks of sheep in the area. As I said, these stories are not for the faint-hearted, but they highlight for us the bravery, and I would suggest the God-given bravery of these people. Are we brave as we follow our King? The words of the Lord spoken by Joshua, that my wife, who was then my fiancée, wrote in the front of a Bible that she gave to me as I began my ministry. Be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I remember too, when in my early teens, hearing a sermon based on Daniel, and the speaker concluding his message by quoting a chorus, "Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm and dare to make it known." I used to sit in church in a row of four lads. I'd just become a Christian and wondered how they would react to the news. But I knew that day I'd got to nail my colours to the mast and declare my faith in the Lord Jesus and be baptised as a follower of him. Are we brave? Others have declared their faith in the face of a hostile family or community. If we've not done so before, will we, in the strength that God gives us, declare our faith in Christ? In today's world, some believers are persecuted for their faith. As I mentioned, each day I read the Barnabas Fund prayer letter and pray for these brave Christians, some who are faithful to the point of death. May we be brave followers of Christ. And also pray for our brave brothers and sisters throughout the world. And then as I looked at these verses, I discovered some went beyond the call of duty. They really did go the extra mile or the extra few miles. In verse 13, it was harvest time and probably quite warm. And David's mind turned back to the time of his youth in Bethlehem and being able to pop down to the local well and get a long, cool drink of water from the well at Bethlehem. So not at all expecting anyone to act upon it, he said, Oh, that someone would give me a drink of water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem. To all intents and purposes, it was impossible. The Philistines had invaded the land. They had set up a garrison in Bethlehem. To get a drink of water from the well would mean breaking through Philistine lines. David did not expect anybody to risk their life for him in that way. But three men, out of love and devotion to David, did just that and brought him a drink of water from the well at Jerusalem, at Bethlehem. David was so overwhelmed he just couldn't drink it. He saw it as a symbol of the blood of these men who had gone beyond the call of duty and risked their lives out of love and devotion to him, and instead of drinking it, poured it out as an offering to the Lord. In the New Testament, we find a woman with an alabaster flask of very costly perfume. She could have sold it and enjoyed the proceeds. But what does she do? As Jesus is reclining at the table, she goes and she pours it over his head. The disciples were indignant. They thought it was such a waste. This could have been sold and the money given to the poor. It appeared so extravagant. But it was an act of love and devotion to our King. And the Lord Jesus saw it as such. It was beyond the call of duty. It was just an overwhelming expression of love and devotion to Jesus, as well as an anointing for his burial. And as I thought of those two extravagant acts, my mind also turned to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And verses 1 and 2, where Paul writes, "Moreover, brethren, we know about you." Sorry, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in riches of their liberality." What's he saying? He's saying that these Christians were going through a torrid time of persecution. They were poor, desperately poor. And yet such was their overwhelming joy in Christ that they gave generously beyond what they were able to give. The world would have said they couldn't afford what they were giving, but they did it out of love for Jesus and his people. There may have been times when we too have heard of, or maybe even witnessed, someone going beyond the call of duty to express their love and devotion to another person. There are times, often unseen and unreported, when people in a tangible way go the extra mile to express their love and devotion to the Lord who loves them and gave himself for them. However we express our love, do we do it for his praise and his glory? And then as I look at these people, I find fourthly that they were faithful to the end. These mighty men were there with David in Cave Adullam. They recognized that he was the Lord's anointed and remained loyal to him through the difficult times and the good times. Faithfulness is a key ingredient in a child of God and a servant of God. Faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2 tells us it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. May we be faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ to the end of our lives. May we be loyal to him through difficult times as well as good times. May we keep close to him, take our lead from him, reflect him, serve him. And one day, may we, even though we may not receive it from anybody else, receive his well done, good and faithful servant. And then so fifthly, these people were instrumental in establishing the Lord's anointed king over Israel. In the earlier verses of this chapter, we see David was the anointed of the Lord. The Lord spoke through him, verse 2. He ruled in the fear of the Lord, verse 3. He walked with the Lord, verses 8 and following. And yet these mighty men were instrumental. They played a small part in establishing his kingdom. God had anointed him as king. God would work his purpose out, but these men nevertheless played their part in establishing the kingdom under his rule. And in a similar way, we have the privilege, directed by God's Spirit and his word, and with the people throughout the world, of spreading the influence of King Jesus, of introducing others to his kingdom, of encouraging them to trust and follow him. And in this way, we are a part of establishing him as king. And may God bless us as we do that. May we see the opportunities he gives to us, and may we be a witness for his praise and his glory. Amen.